Good morning. How's everybody doing? Well, worship was absolutely amazing. And what was so interesting about it is almost everything that David sang, everything that he spoke was part of what the Lord had placed on my heart today for you guys. Before I share that part with you, I just want to share that I'm Dawn Bray. I am the pastoral care pastor here. I've actually been at Awake for about 10 years. But for those of you that don't know me, I just wanted to tell you just a little bit about me that even those that do know me may not know. I spent my 20s, 30s, and a lot of my 40s actually in the business world. I traveled. I was a sales trainer, a motivational speaker, and I actually worked in sales in the business world. So for many years, I was on the road doing that kind of thing. I actually owned and managed retail businesses at a point in my life, helped write a franchise program for a retail business that was launched by a manufacturer, and just many things in the business world. And all the time that I was doing that, there was always this cry of my heart to be in ministry. And I knew that that was something that God was calling me to. So I had my own journey that I walked through, and around somewhere between 15 and 20 years ago, I'm not really good with exact timelines, I was being groomed to take over a company where a man was retiring. And it would have been this setup for me where financially I was set, where I would have just been able to just, you know, kind of run this company alongside one other person that was being groomed. And I just felt like I was kind of settling into, okay, this is what I'm going to be doing. And what happened is one day I took a walk, and I would go to different parks at that time, like Battleground and different places in Greensboro. And on this particular day, I was walking along, and it was like the Lord just arrested me with these words. He said, "Dawn, choose today who you will serve. Will you serve me, or are you going to stay in this business world?" And I had had some opportunities that, you know, I knew I was supposed to minister. I was doing some women's ministry. There were a lot of different things, and that led my husband and I on a journey. And I actually resigned from that place. It was not taken well because, of course, I'd been groomed to do this. There had been a lot of time invested in me in that, but I left well, and the Lord had another job come along for a short season of time, and then eventually we knew that it was ending my time probably in the business world and that I was going to be doing something else, and the Lord brought me home. So that's just a little bit about, you know, who I am and where I've been. Also, some interesting things is that we live on about 14 acres and we have horses, and I'm an outdoors person. We actually had vacation a couple of weeks ago with our kids and we went kayaking, and that's actually something where I have overcome to be able to do that, because for those of you that do know me, I walked through not being well for some years and have walked back into a place of just overcoming some things and being able to physically do normal things again. And I share those because a lot of those things are going to play into what I have that I believe the Lord wanted me to share with you this morning. So let's pray, and then I will share with you what I feel like the Lord has placed on my heart. So Holy Spirit, thank you that you are always with us. Thank you for the way that, God, you set up this time and what you have to deliver this morning. Thank you for a fresh word in season for this body and for the body of Christ. I just thank you, Lord, and I submit this time to you, and I ask you that you would speak through me in Jesus' name. So when I asked the Lord what he wanted me to share with you, the first thing that I heard was just one word. He said, redemption. And so I did what we do, right? I looked it up. And the definition that stood out to me and that was highlighted to me was this definition: the action of regaining or gaining possession of something in exchange for payment or the clearing of a debt. And then in the Greek, what stood out to me was being ransomed in full. And then the Lord expanded and he said, the name of your message is the redemption of dreams. And so I believe that this morning, just like David was talking about, that it is time for faith to arise in us. And that there are dreams that we have had, there are visions, there are things that God has placed inside of us that are desires of our heart. Things that maybe we've laid down. Maybe we've gotten hopeless about them. Maybe they're things that God placed inside of us and we just can't see how we could do that. How could God do that in my life? And I believe that he is bringing this morning the redemption of dreams. Psalms 37:4 is one of the scriptures that I just wanted to set this up with. It says, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. And then Psalm 20, verses 4 and 5 say, may God give you every desire of your heart and carry out your every plan as you go to battle. And then I love this part, so I couldn't leave it off. When you succeed, we will celebrate and we will shout for joy. Flags will fly when victory is yours. Yes, God will answer your prayers and we will praise him. You know, I feel like over the last few weeks, I know that David a couple of weeks ago spoke, and I remember that he talked about a dream that he had where he sang happy birthday over the church. And then he began to hear the voice of the Lord prophesying over Awake, over the body of Christ. And the Lord was saying, you are pioneers, you are innovators, and that God was releasing a new model. And that in that new model, we would champion one another. And we would have eyes and the heart of fathers and mothers. And then a couple of weeks prior to that, Geneva spoke and she challenged us with this question. Could it be possible that there's something that God wants to do, something, a dream that God wants to do through you, in you, that we can't see because our mindset won't allow for it? And I believe that that day God released us into being able to look at those places where there's something where our mindsets may not be allowing us to believe, to dream, to have faith like David was singing about this morning. So this is the word that I felt like the Lord placed on my heart for us this morning. And I feel like it's a fresh word. I feel like it's a promise of the Lord over us here at Awake. He said, I am bringing redemption to the dreams, desires, and prophetic words that I have given my people. I will give them eyes to see things as they really are, and not only as they appear, and I am going to accelerate the process. I believe that's the word of the Lord over us this morning. And so just some funny things that the Lord does with me is he will always confirm things. So after he gave me this word, there were several things that stood out to me that I believe will also encourage you and will raise faith this morning to be able to see what God is doing. So one of those, it was posted on Facebook, so I know it's okay to share. And I'm going to read to you what it was, but it's Mandy Haggerty here in our church. She wrote this, today at the end of service, this old kind-hearted man came up to Zach and I, and he told us two things, but one no stranger would know. He gently grabbed my arm and he said, you know that little one that you desire and you've carried in your heart, the one who doesn't come from you? He's coming. And she said she just melted. And here's what she wrote at the end. The Lord is so good to remember the desires of our heart, even when we lose hope. And then she said, my hope has been restored and the dream has been rekindled. And that is such a confirmation of what the Lord is speaking over us today. And then on Thursday, I went to lunch with a lady and there were two things that God highlighted that again were confirmations. One was, just this simple phrase that sometimes we ask God for big things and we start to try to dream with him. But then it's like when we really look at it, we begin to settle for less. And so the phrase was, we ask God for more, but we plan for less. And how true is that sometimes for us? That we have these places where we long so much for God to do that thing that is in our heart, to bring that desire forth, to bring that dream forth. But then when we sit down and we really begin to plan for it, a lot of times we shrink back. And we need to step out in that place of faith. And we need to believe today that God is redeeming dreams. Things that you may not have thought about for a long time. And I believe even as I speak today, that God is going to remind you of the things that he wants to bring back out today. Things that he wants to breathe on, that he wants to bring forth. So I'm going to share again this, what the Lord spoke to me. I am bringing redemption to the dreams, desires, and prophetic words that I have given my people. I will give them eyes to see things as they really are and not as they appear. And I will accelerate the process. So the first part of that is the redemption, which I had looked up the definition of. But the Lord reminded me of this. He has also, not only has he redeemed us, but along with us, he has redeemed all of those dreams and desires that he placed inside of us because they're a part of how he designed us. It's who he made us to be. I believe that those dreams and desires that he places inside of us are invitations into what he has for us. It's like an invitation to join with him in faith, to join with the Holy Spirit and to receive. Isaiah 43:1 is a verse that says, "But now, thus says the Lord God, your creator, O Jacob, and he who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine." And along with all of that are all of the dreams and all of the desires, the things that he has placed inside of us that we desire to see were redeemed. So the price that was attached to the end of that definition has already been paid. And then Ephesians 1:7 is just another verse on that. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which is lavished on us. So the first part is that he is redeeming our dreams. The second part of what he gave me was, I will give you eyes to see how things really are and not just how they appear. And so in that space, I want to look at a story that I know is familiar to us, but it's in 2 Kings chapter 6, starting in about verse 15. And it's the story of Elisha and Gehazi. And so instead of reading that story, I'm just going to paraphrase it, I think, for you this morning. So you have Elisha and Gehazi, his attendant, his servant. They have been traveling together for some time. There are some miracles that Elisha has done. Gehazi has seen some things that God has done because he's been walking beside Elisha. So they get to this place where what happens is the Arameans are plotting to capture Elisha. So one night they go to bed and the army surrounds the place where they are staying in. The next morning, I picture this as they wake up, they kind of stumble out of their tent or their cottage, whatever it is they're staying in. And, you know, here's Gehazi and he looks and he thinks, all he sees is that they are encamped roundabout. And so he looks to Elisha and he says, what are we going to do? I mean, look, do you see this? But Elisha has been given the ability by the Lord to see things as they really are and not just as they appear. And so what we read, if we pick that up in about verse 16 of 2 Kings chapter 6, it says, let's go to 15. That's the best place to start. Now, when the attendant of the man of God had risen early and gone out, behold, an army with horses and chariots was circling the city. And his servant said to him, alas, master, what shall we do? So he answered, do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And then Elisha prayed and he said, O Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the servant's eyes and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. And I believe that that is where God is taking us today. He is wanting to open our eyes. There are situations, I mean, how many times, even personally, I think about my own life and my own story, how many times we get excited about something with God and we start to see it, we start to try to move into it, and then what happens is we see the natural and we look and we see that there's a battle against this. It's going to be hard for me to push through. I can see a natural circumstance. I maybe don't feel well. I mean, there's all these different things that happen that rise up that cause us to see the natural circumstance. And the enemy tries to elevate that above what is really the truth about what God says. And I believe with our dreams that there are a lot of places where that has happened. And with that story, I want to tell you a little bit about a dream that God placed inside of me years ago and used my story to share what I think this looks like and where we have been in the past season and where God is calling us into. So after I came home from the business world one day, my husband and I moved into a new home. We felt like it was the Lord. Everything that happened just said this is the place that God had for us. We were supposed to be there. And so one day at the time, the 14 acres, it's like right at 14 acres, it was completely wooded except for where our home was. There were just many things that were different than how it is now. We now have a pasture, we have horses, a lot of things have changed. So the Lord one day took me into this vision and he shared with me like a vision for a ministry or a church. And it was a really big vision. It was something that I really couldn't wrap my mind around because there were so many pieces of it. It was like he was showing me that we were going to have this harvest come in of people, and that we were going to have people in all of these categories. It was, you know, women that were going to be pregnant and not know whether to have the baby or not, and all of the things around, you know, pregnancy. It was all kinds of areas. It was the homeless. He showed me a picture of my husband and I and having a team and bringing in the homeless people and feeding them. And he just showed me scene after scene after scene of all of these kinds of brokenness that were going to come. And he said, I am going to give you a plan and I am going to help you to unpack this vision. And so, of course, I was very excited, but it was a really big vision. I spent lots of days, I wrote it down. I drew things that he had shown me on the property. At that time, we were landlocked and had been told that there was no way that any of the land around us would be sold. And the Lord showed me a road coming into the back of the property. And it's one of those things where it's such a dream of God and it's such a dream to, wow, that we're going to have this road coming into the back of the property. And in the same time, in the natural, I'm going, but we're landlocked. And there's all these things that would have to happen. And, you know, how could that really happen? So anyway, I wrote down everything that God showed me. I actually got help to try to draw out some of the things. And I put this whole thing on paper. And I carried it in my heart for quite a while. For several years, it burned in me every day. And I would think about one of those areas and what would it look like to help this situation where people are broken in this way, and what would it look like to bring them into wholeness? What would it look like to see this group of people actually have a place where they could go, where there is a safe place for them to be healed and to be sent back out into what they're called to do? To see people healed of things that they would then go see other people healed of. And I just was burning inside with this dream, and that was 15 years ago. And so I want to talk to you about all of the things that tried to come against that dream, and just some of the things that I think come against us today with the dreams that we have, with the desires that we have, with the prophetic words that God has spoken over us. And the first thing that can happen is hope deferred. Time passes, right? We get a couple of years after we've begun to dream with God about something. Maybe it's not even that far. Maybe it's a few months. But it's something that's so burning inside of us. But hope deferred comes in. Proverbs 13:12 says this: hope deferred makes the heart sick. But then what does it say? It says, but desire fulfilled is a tree of life. And so every time I would get to these places where hope would be deferred, God would bring some way to kind of relight that fire, to bring me into a place where I could see what he said, that that desire fulfilled was going to be a tree of life one day. But I had to step into agreement with those things with him. And so, like I said, time passes, and then we start to look at all the reasons that have happened why the dream can't come to pass. In other words, time gives us lots of things that we can look at in the natural that say that it may not be true, right? So Isaiah 43:18-19 says this: do not call to mind the former things, or ponder on the things of the past. Behold, I will do something new. Now it will spring forth. Will you not be aware of it? I will even make a roadway in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. And I think that sometimes in the place of hope being deferred and hopelessness, we have a hard time seeing again that new thing that God is trying to do in us, that thing that God is saying, I want to do this. But sometimes our heart gets stuck in this place of hope deferred. I believe God is going to break that off of us today, break that off of our dreams today. Lack of resources is a reason why we can let go of our dreams. If we can't see how what God said could come to pass, and resources can be finances, but they can also be just people that we need. It can be all kinds of things that we need to come and surround us in order for us to be able to do something. It can just be the lack of people to champion us in what we need. So resources covers a large area, but you know, sometimes the lack of resources, not being able to see that we have what we need, will try to stop us. But the truth is in 2 Peter 1, verses 3 and 4. And it says, seeing that his divine power has granted to us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the true knowledge of him who has called us by his own glory and excellence. For by these he has granted to us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may be partakers of his divine nature. He has placed inside of us, when he knit us together, he put us together with desires, with dreams that were burning inside of us, sometimes from a child. How many of you think about how when you were a child, you were so excited and so on fire for what you wanted to be in the future? But sometimes things happen, and there's a lack, and there's an inability for us to move into those. And so hope deferred comes in. And seeing a lack of resources causes us to stop seeing that we have what we need. I really believe with all of my heart that when God puts a desire inside of us, He gives us in that moment everything that we will need to bring it to pass. He doesn't put something inside of us and hold it out here for us to see it and then not give us the ability to walk into that place. He is a good Father that gives all good gifts. And so inside of us, along with those dreams, are everything that we need. Even though we may not be able to see it in this moment, He has placed it inside of us. He has placed it around us. It is part of the kingdom. We live in the world where we see the natural things, just like Gehazi, but we also are of the kingdom, and we have those resources available to us. So another place is just wrong thinking. And Geneva really talked about this a while back. You know, can our mindset and our wrong thinking cause us not to be able to see what God wants to see? I know one thing that, and a lot of people don't like the word poverty mindset, but that is a word that for me, God has taught me a lot about. And, you know, a poverty mindset really is just that I can't see the kingdom resources for what I need, and I'm kind of stuck in seeing what is in the natural, but not seeing the fullness of everything that God has for me. So God is breaking off, I believe, any mindset that we have gotten from the culture, from the way we were raised, from the things that we have lacked, from the places that we have been, from the woundings that we have received, from times that we had a dream burning inside of us and no one came around us and we felt like we were alone in it and somehow it fell to the ground. All of those places of wrong thinking, I believe the Lord is going to change today. And I believe that in Scripture, one of the places that He tells us that He will do this is in 2 Corinthians 10, verses 3 through 5. It says, "For we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." And in our wrong thinking, when we find ourselves not in alignment with God, not in faith, not in a place to receive, not in a place to be able to walk out that dream, I believe that we can take those things captive, that we can look at that and say, "God, open my eyes to see the reality of what you see. Show me what you see so I can agree with you and so I can shift my thinking." And I all the time take, when something like that comes up, I literally do this. And I say to myself, this is not the truth. This is exalting itself against what God has said to you. And I flip it and I find that promise, I find that place in the Word, I find that Scripture, and I flip it on top of itself and I begin to declare God's truth. And so Bill Johnson says something that I just really love, this quote, and I'm paraphrasing what he said, so it may not be exact, but he says this, "I cannot afford to have a thought in my mind about myself, about my dreams, that God isn't having about me." And I think if we can find ourselves in that place of continually asking God to show us His perspective, that we can shift into a place where we can believe what He is saying about us, where we can walk in what He's saying. And that 2 Corinthians 10, 3 through 5, I just peeped at it in the Passion Translation, which I think everybody's getting familiar with now. And verse 5 says it this way, and I just was like, wow. It says, "We can demolish every deceptive fantasy that opposes God and break through every arrogant attitude that is raised up in defiance of the true knowledge of God. We capture like prisoners of war every thought and insist that it bow its knee in obedience to Christ. I just love that, that we have the ability to take those thoughts and say, you will bow your knee. Mountain, you will move out of the way. Whatever is coming against what God has promised me, the word he spoke over me, the dream he placed in my heart, the desire that he gave me, right now in Jesus' name, the word of God says, you will bow your knee to him. And I believe that God is releasing this morning the ability for us to shift into that place where we step up in that faith David was talking about. And in faith, we align with God and we step into this place and we speak to the mountain. We speak to those things that are coming against. We speak to hope deferred. And I want to walk you through as we finish today that place. But there's one more place for me in my journey that I want to share with you. And I want to make it clear before I share this that I'm not saying that a journey has to take a tremendously long time. As a matter of fact, I'll share with you in a moment that the Lord said he's accelerating the process. But this is my story and my journey. So I want to make that very clear that I'm not saying a journey has to take a long time. Part of mine did. So when I had those dreams and those promises, there was one particular time when I had really let go of this dream. And I really didn't. I just thought, you know what? That just wasn't even God. I mean, you get tired, and it had been a long time. And so I went to a Randy Clark conference for healing, just a training conference. And at the very end of that, they called people up in four groups. And they said, if you think you're called to worship, come up here. If you're called to plant churches, come up here. And they had these four categories. And so that night, I was really feeling like the Lord was calling me into the worship group. So I went up. And I kid you not, I stood there the whole time that they prayed for everybody in that place. And I was like the last person in this worship group. And I was thinking, what in the world? Because, I mean, they would come and speak to somebody right here and right here and right here, and I'm standing there and I'm thinking, what is this? But what happened that night is after everybody else had been prayed for, this guy walked up to me that was part of the team of Randy, and he put his finger like right in my face and he said, the promise that God gave you is true. And he quoted the two scriptures that God had given me when he gave me the vision and the promise. And let me see, those two scriptures were Habakkuk 2:2, write the vision, you know, make it plain so those who come behind you can run with it. And the second one was Ezekiel 12, where basically the people are saying the vision's for a time far off and it's not gonna happen. And the Lord speaks back and he says, you go tell them that my words will not be delayed any longer and that whatever I speak will be fulfilled. So he spoke those words over me and the Lord just burned again. It's like it just rose up inside of me that, wow, I really did hear the Lord. That really is a dream that God placed inside of me. Those desires are real. And I could dream again. So I believe God is going to do some of that today with us. But here's part of the journey for me. I needed to grow and mature for God to be able to do what he was going to do through my life. And so I ministered for many, many years with a partner. I ministered for many years by myself. I had seasons of soaking. I had seasons of ministry for me where I went and was ministered to and was loved on, where I learned who I was, where God raised me up in some places. And that for me was a time frame of some years where I had to hold on to this dream and not let it go, and God would continue to rekindle it, but I also had to grow to be able to do what he was calling me to do. And in that place, I learned some really cool things. One was that I had to be in intimacy with God to grow love and peace and joy. That the fruit of love, joy, and peace are grown in the secret place with Him. And I found out that when I really know who I am and I'm in intimacy with Him, and there's a peace that's deep, deep inside of me, that I carry that peace with me wherever I go. And that I could step into any situation of chaos, into anything that was going on in somebody's life where there was a lot of chaos, and I could carry what was inside of me. So He grew me in places of love and joy and peace in that season of intimacy with Him. The other place that I grew tremendously was in the area of relationships. And let me tell you, that is not for me. That was not a fun season. But it was it's where God brings you to this place where he teaches you to love and to be relational and with your family, with your friends, with the people you minister to. And here are the fruit of the Spirit that are attached in relationship: patience, kindness, and goodness. And so He grew me in these places of relationship, and out of that came an ability, and I shifted, and I'll just be really honest with you. You know, early in our walk, it's easy for us to not be seeing the things of God come forth for us and to see it happening for someone else and to kind of look at that and think, what's up with that? Like, what's going on there? You know, why not me? But what God did in this place of relationships was He grew me and He developed me into a place where I became a champion of others. And in the midst of not seeing my dream, I could celebrate with other people. And it became a joy for me to have a ministry session and to watch someone come out of that session free, even if I wasn't free. He raised me up in this place of loving people, of having that peace, of having that joy, of patience, kindness, and goodness. And by saying these things, please hear this, I'm not there. I'm growing in every one of these places just like we all are. But He brought me to a place where I can see now where I need to grow, and He can measure me in those things. And then there was one other place: the difficulties and the battles. And it's in that place that we grow in faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And I went through some difficulties. I lost my dad. My husband had a stroke, and we went through a lot of difficult years. I had chronic fatigue and was sick myself. I mean, and you just name it, difficulty after difficulty. In my life, all of these places where I needed to trust the Lord, where I needed to know His faithfulness, where I needed to grow in faith, where I needed to also grow in self-control, where I learned that I control me. You know, Danny Silk at Bethel talks about we cannot be controlled by our outward circumstances, but we have to find that place of self-control within ourselves where we know that I have the ability to at least make the choice of how I'm going to respond and react in a situation. So for me, I've had a season of a lot of growth in my life so that I believe God could bring forth what He had for me. So the next piece of this word was that the Lord is going to accelerate the process. You know, acceleration is biblical. Amos 9:13 says, "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when the plowman will overtake the reaper and the treader of grapes, him who sows seed." And I had a quick dream about acceleration, and it was very fast. It was just, in a dream, I'm saying, it's going to take me 4 hours to finish something. And God's saying, no, it's going to take 4 minutes. And I say, no, certainly it's going to take 4 hours. And the Lord says, no, it's going to take 4 minutes. And so in that place, the Lord spoke to me about acceleration and how He is accelerating things, and that we are in this season of Amos 9:13. And then one last thing as I close today is I want to look at Ezekiel 37. And again, this is a story that you guys know. So I'm not going to read the whole thing. I'm just going to kind of go over it quickly. But as you know, it's where Ezekiel is looking at the valley of dry bones. And I felt like the Lord showed me that place of the valley of dry bones. And that a lot of times our dreams, that's what happens. They look like they have dried up. They look like there's no hope. And we get into all of those places. And I feel like that the Lord was saying, just like here, Ezekiel saw dry bones, but God saw an army. And that's really the bottom line of that story. And as Ezekiel partnered with God, Ezekiel would say, I see this, and God would say, speak this. And as he moved out and he took action in obedience, everything that he spoke that the Lord had said to him came to pass. And as we know the story, the bones rise up, bone against bone, the sinews grow, the flesh comes on them, and they rise up as an exceedingly great army. I believe today that for the people here, for those, God gave me a heart this week about the dreams and the things that we've let go of. And I'm looking at, you know, what David is speaking over us, what Geneva's bringing, what Matt is bringing. God is saying to us that we are getting ready to walk in something that's a new model. It's something that's different. It's something that is going to be on the cutting edge of what the church has seen. I believe we are getting ready to see the signs and wonders and miracles and dreams come to pass and the desires coming forward and prophetic words that have been spoken over us coming forth. And we're actually seeing that happen. We're beginning to see that in a lot of spaces, just like I shared with what happened with Mandy and just the word of God being birthed again. But we're also seeing it in this way. God had me take that vision from 15 years ago. And in the end of last year, he said to me, there's only one step that I want you to do that's going to be what will show you what your next year will hold. He said, I want you to take the vision that I gave you. I want you to sit down with me and revise it, and I want you to take it to your pastor, Matt Peterson. And when I did that, I'll be honest with you, I did not believe that there was any door that God was going to open or that there was anything major. I actually thought I was passing something on. It was like, I'm going to take this dream, okay, I carried it for 15 years, and now it's time for me to give it away. But I was obedient to do that, and I was willing to do that. And in doing that, God brought me into a place now where for this body, I'm able to begin to take the pieces of that vision and put them together. So when he will do that for me, he will do that for you. I believe today that God wants to rebirth, that what he said was, it's the redemption of dreams. So how many of you guys feel like you have a dream, you have something in your heart, you have a desire, you have a prophetic word that maybe you've let go, maybe hope deferred has slid in, maybe you just haven't been going for it? Does anybody feel that way today? If you guys have a dream, a vision, a desire, something that you want the Lord to breathe on today, I'd like for you to stand. And I just want to pray for us this morning. Yeah. Thank you, God. So God, I ask you first, Lord, forgive us for any way that we have lost hope. And Lord, we just say to hope deferred, we see you and we come out of agreement with you and we choose this day to hope again. We choose, God, to partner with you. Lord, I ask you over every person in this place that you would right now weigh and measure over them every word and every thought that has been spoken by them or other people over the dreams and the desires that they have had in their heart. And I ask you that whatever is right and true and just about those dreams would rise up to the top, and that faith would come forth, and that God, you would right now breathe on those dreams. God, that you would breathe on the desires, that you would breathe on the prophetic words. God, we choose hope today. We partner with you, God, and we say, open our eyes to see things the way that they really are and not just the way they seem in the natural. Wow. God, shift right now. I speak over every single person here a shift today, over the atmosphere, over your dreams. And I speak hope, and I speak faith, and I speak life. And we say, Holy Spirit, release right now over your people. Lord, if there's someone here who does not have a dream that is being brought to their mind, that you would give them a dream today. That you would begin to birth in them what it is that they have. Lord, whether it's starting a business, whether it's starting a nonprofit, whether it's fostering children, adopting children, no matter what that dream is, God, a dream to go to a certain school, a dream for a certain job, a dream to see healing, God, whatever that dream is, I ask you right now that you would breathe on that dream. And God, we come into agreement right now with you, just like Ezekiel came into agreement with you. And we say, God, breathe life into the dreams and desires. And God, we thank you that every single person here, that dream and that desire is a piece of the puzzle for the fullness of what you are doing in this body and in the body of Christ. So Lord, we receive from you today the treasures that you are giving. And I was reminded of a dream that was shared with me at lunch that I want to tell you. It's very quick. It was a dream that a lady hadn't shared with me on Thursday of this week. She was at a wake church, and there were 200 gold bars at the front of the church. And someone got up and announced, now don't forget to go get your gold bar before you leave church. And everybody left, and there were still 198 gold bars left at the front of the church. And the Lord showed me today there are spiritual treasures that he is giving to every one of us today. So I believe that as we hold out our hands, as we believe him in faith today, that he is releasing these spiritual treasures into every one of our lives. So whether this is a dream that is being rebirthed or a dream that is brand new and fresh that God is giving you today, I encourage you, pick up that spiritual treasure. Just go to the Lord with that this week and say, God, show me your perspective. Show me what you say about me. Show me my first step. And it may just be one thing, just like with me. Take the dream and put it here. Tell this person. He may bring people to bring accountability. But just like as David used that word, championing one another, I believe that God is going to help us here to come alongside one another and to champion the dreams and the desires and the visions and the prophetic words, and that is what is going to bring us into this place of unity where we are helping one another and loving one another and seeing the dreams come to pass. So God, we thank you and we look forward to seeing what you are going to do in Jesus' name. So there will be prayer teams up at the front on the right and the left side, and I believe in the middle for anybody that has a prayer request or wants to just come up and be prayed for. Or if you just want someone today just to agree with you about the dream that you have in your heart, just come up and these people will be glad to pray with you. So thank you. Have a great afternoon.